Shane Chapel, you're going to hear from the last seven go trips that we didn't get to hear from last week. These seven trips traveled either spring break or winter term, and they're going to share with you more about what they did and what they saw the Lord do while they were there. But before we do that, we've got a PowerPoint to show you of all the trips and pictures of what the teams actually did. So let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to celebrate and to give you praise for what you did in our lives and what you did in our country and around the world through these go trips in January and during spring break. Father, we pray even now for the seeds that were sown. We pray that you'll continue to allow them to grow. And Lord, we pray for the people that we share the gospel with, that they will continue to have interactions with Christians who will continue to water those seeds that were sown, God. And again, we just give you all the praise and the glory for what happened during these trips. And we thank you for the time to celebrate that this morning. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Share the wealth, share with your brother, share the wealth, my friend. It takes deep wealth, love one another, share the wealth, my friend. Do you think the water knows? Flowing down the mountain fall, finally to find repose, and it's so cares gone. Can the keepers of the sun on their way to join the flow? I cast aside and left the thirst. Tell me now it is my soul. Share the wealth, share with your brother, share the wealth, my friend. Take the people well, love one another, share the well, my friend. Let all God's creatures share a water hole. This is day the monsoon comes, and in his image we are woke. With every likeness, everyone. The Kashmir, Camelot, under every banyan tree. Mothers for the children cry, lift each other and fill your need. Share the well, share with your blood. Share well, my friend. Take the people well, love one another. Share well, my friend. You know I've heard good people say, there's nothing I can do, it's half a world away. Maybe you've got money, maybe you've got time, maybe you've got living well, and I'm running dry. Share the wealth, share with your brother, share the wealth, my friend. Take the people well, love one another, share the wealth, my friend. Share the wealth, share with your brother, share the wealth, my friend. Take the people well, love one another, share the well, my friend.
And the government he gave. Now what is the situation of our Indian Dalits, downtrodden after 55 years of independence? Gulami ki is halat mein, gulami ki is halat mein.
Good morning. My name's Matt Owens. I went on a Go Morocco trip in January. We're like the only group that doesn't have our own t-shirt, nor did we cheer when our name came up on PowerPoint. But Suzanne called me this week and asked me to do this, and asked us all to focus on one specific question. The question I'm going to focus on is what did God do in Morocco? And I think our group generally would agree that if this trip was solely for us, if it was to learn about Moroccan culture and to help us spiritually, then it was worthwhile. But I hope we realize that that's not what it was for. If we believe the purpose of this trip was to teach us what it's like to be a missionary, then I hope we realize the influence that self-centered American societies had on us. Sometimes it's easy to see things this way because we didn't see hundreds of people give their lives to Christ in Morocco. We didn't see any. And we never verbally preached the gospel of Christ to the Moroccans. We saw it subtly preached by the Moroccan missionaries there. But it's easy to then put the focus on ourselves and what we gain from the experience, but that's not fair. Because we know that when God called us to go to all countries of the world preaching the gospel, that was going to have an impact on other people. And I think that we did preach the gospel in other countries, not verbally, but by playing basketball with orphans, by painting henna on our hands with students, and just by generally loving other people there. And so our success should not be measured by the number of conversions that we're seeing in Morocco, but in our willingness to go and in how well we loved others. And for that, our trip was successful, and I'm proud of this team. And I feel like doors were opened in Morocco to Christianity that had closed before, either by their view of Christianity and the loose morals that they see on American television. And so we have faith that our trip was not in vain because we fulfilled God's call to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. My name's Stephen Browning, and I went with the Go Tanzania trip. And honestly, I don't really know what you need to hear about the trip itself, because there's not a whole lot besides living that happened. When we went, our opportunity was to share life with the students at the University of Dar es Salaam. And basically what we did was every day, we spent whatever time they wanted us to spend with them. So what our ministry wasn't sharing the gospel with non-Christians. It was sharing our lives with fellow Christians. That was a part of missions that I had seen before, but not really participated fully in. And it was a deep, deep blessing to me and several of my other fellow teammates. We had a group of seven, and the guys went to the guys' dorms and ate with the guys, and the girls went with the girls. So we all have different stories to tell about it, and it just is such an amazing thing to be able to think about how God placed us there so that we can make connections with fellow Christians around the world. I just have a list of names here that I met these people, and they're as strong of believers as I am, and some of them are younger believers than I am, and it's just such a blessing for us to be able to have that opportunity to pray for these people every day and to know that they love us and we love them, and they are serving God in a much stronger way than I ever can by going for 1 week or 2 weeks. But the thing is, it's not about what we do. It's about us sharing our love with them, and I just thank everybody for the opportunity to give us to share these people, share their lives, and share the God that we both have, regardless of our background. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Scott Griffin. I went on the Go Honduras trip with the other 47 of us, however many it was. I want to speak to the question where I saw God move. And I got five different areas, but we could talk all morning about the areas that we saw God move. The first that I saw was in church. on both Sundays and Wednesday that we were there, especially I think in the practice times when we would go and practice the songs we're going to sing. For me, it was a picture of heaven. I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like, but I got a glimpse of it, and I want to share it with you. They had some Danish people there. I don't know what they were doing there, but they were there. They worked at the orphanage. It was interesting. So when you combine the Americans, our team, with the Hondurans, with the Danes, I guess that's what you call them, it was kind of cool to see all these people singing in different languages, but the same song. And for me, that's what I anticipate heaven to be like. I don't know if it will be, but that's kind of what I see it as. So I saw God moving in that, and that was incredible. The second place, I was told not to speak about this, but the fire. Some of you have heard about it. I want to know how many other go trips got to put out a wildfire. I didn't think so. We did. And it's kind of interesting. The reason I speak about it is because we were supposed to leave on Saturday, like every other go trip. Get back Saturday, spend Sunday with our family. It's Easter Sunday. Be here Monday, go back to classes Tuesday. We didn't get back until Monday night about 11 o'clock. The reason for that, now I can say, is because there was a fire Sunday night that started on the hills and worked its way towards the orphanage. I don't know if we had not been there, whether or not the fire would have been put out. I'm not saying that at all. But I believe the reason we were there 2 extra days was to put the fire out. God used us, and I saw him moving that, and I appreciate that. The third place, this one's the most difficult to talk about because it's not a certain place that I saw God move, but this is kind of, I guess for me and maybe some of the teammates too. If you were ever able to get away and just spend some time by yourself, some alone time, we would call it, you were able to see God move. It wasn't always possible because 420-something kids wanted to tug on you and play with you and whatever else they could do. But when they went to bed about 3 in the afternoon, I'm just kidding. They really did. They went to bed early. When they went to bed, if you were ever able just to kind of get away, spend some time by yourself, God revealed himself to you through the mountains, through the trees, just different things. You're able to just look up and see how small you really are. We don't always get that here in West Tennessee where everything is nice and flat. But if you're ever able to get away, God showed himself to you. Fourth place, we had on Easter Sunday, we had communion. And this was one of the coolest times for me. Again, it was in church, but it was one of the coolest times for me because it's not like we do communion here, I guess, or at our local Baptist churches where the nice ushers or deacons will take the communion to you. You had to get up and go down front, get your cracker, dip it in your grape juice or wine, and show everybody what you believe. And all these kids did that. We did it. They did it. We all joined together and did it. The Danes did it. We all did it. And it was cool to see that. It was a different way of doing it, but it was God showed himself to me in that. The final way, and the most obvious way, as soon as we entered the orphanage, this was the way that God just made it clear that we were supposed to be here, was in the kids themselves. I've never been to an orphanage before, but I have seen pictures on TV where this guy holds a child and says that for $1 a day, you can sponsor, those kind of things. We've all seen them. So that's what I'm thinking this place is going to be like. Nobody's going to be smiling. They're all going to need food. Whatever we can give them, they need. That's what I'm thinking. And they needed whatever we could give them. But it was far from that picture that I had in my head. These kids were smiling. They looked to be well-fed. They just wanted to be loved. And they were getting that, but they just wanted to hang out with us. It was different from what I thought it would be. And that's because God is moving in the orphanage. He moved among our team, but he was already moving among the orphanage, and he's still moving even though we're gone now. So lastly, the way I saw God move was in the orphanage. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Olivia Petty. I'm with Go Memphis. I had some reservations about the trip before we left. I just didn't feel like I needed to go. I don't know, just things weren't coming together really well, and I just had some reservations, and it turned out to be one of the best mission trips I've ever been on. I definitely saw God working in Memphis, in our group, in me, I think mainly in me, but and all the other mission trips I've ever been on, it's been about telling people about God and witnessing and teaching and, you know, doing backyard Bible clubs and, you know, different things like that. But this mission trip was more about service. And we didn't do a lot of talking to people and, you know, one-on-one conversations. We served. We got to be the hands and feet of Christ. And I've never really had that opportunity, just to be behind the scenes. And it was really incredible. It was awesome to see how God can work in the little things that we do that, you know, nobody even knows about. It's the little things that bring him glory and that lead someone to salvation. We did a lot of urban ministries, and these included, like, just bagging groceries, a men's mission. This was the most effective one, was the men's union mission to me, because, I mean, it was, they evangelized the men that came in, but they rehabilitated them to go out into society, and these were men that had either been on the streets or in prison. And we worked with the Salvation Army and Meals on Wheels, a food bank in Memphis, a church that would take in homeless people and provide whatever they could for them. They didn't have much, but they provided what they could. And a battered women's shelter where, you know, women come just where they can have love and guidance when they've had it really rough. And we also we stayed at the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, and so we got to work there and at the Boys Ranch. It's in Millington. And sometimes the work that we did through that whole week seemed trivial. Like, when we worked at the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, we picked up sticks on the grounds of, you know, the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. And if you've ever done that as a kid, that's, you know, a grave, horrible task. So, you know, some of that seems so insignificant. You know, how could picking up sticks bring somebody to Christ? But we soon learned that even, like I said, the little things make a huge difference. We definitely saw God moving in our group while we were in Memphis. I've never been on a mission trip where the group works so well together. You know, our group just meshed and we were flexible, and it's just the best group I've ever been with. And I want to thank them for that, for giving me that experience. Another way that I saw God work in Memphis was how he created, like, divine appointments for us to talk to people. We didn't have many opportunities to do one-on-one conversations with people. But when we did have those experiences, it was apparent it was from God. Like, for example, one time we were walking, you know, down the street, and you have to, you know, cross with the traffic lights, you know, cross when it says walk, and, you know, don't cross when it says don't walk, you know. And so, anyway, we were standing there, and the light had just turned green for us to walk across, but as soon as we got to it, it turned red again so that we couldn't walk across the street. So we just stood there and talked, you know, like, you know, we didn't think anything about it. But as soon as it turned green so that we could walk across the road, Michael, our leader, had an opportunity. Some guy just walked up to him. He was probably homeless, just walked up to him and started talking to him. And to me, that was apparent that he was supposed to talk to this guy. God wanted Michael to talk to this guy. And, I mean, you know, God has control of everything and had control over the traffic lights. I mean, you know. So that's just one example that shows that everybody that we talked to, that we did have an opportunity to talk to, was from God. I mean, it was just amazing to see how God arranged the things that we were doing. Not only did God work in Memphis and in our group, but he worked in me a lot. This trip was extremely humbling to me. It helped me to realize that I'm nothing, you know, nothing special in the world in the grand scheme of things. One day we worshiped at the men's union mission, or the Memphis union mission, with this group of homeless guys, or guys that had little to nothing. And I just felt so unworthy to be there. You know, they were so grateful to God for the things that they had, which was almost nothing. And they were just so thankful for even being able to have a relationship with God. And I think a lot of us here, you know, that's grown up, you know, in church, or, you know, grown up with having a relationship with Christ, you know, I mean, we just take it advantage, you know, take it for granted. And that really just hit me. It was really humbling. I just didn't feel like I should even be there. And God showed me in that worship service and through this week that there's so much that I need to work on, and that I need to change in my life. The one question that plagued our group the whole week, I mean, every night when we would come in for our devotionals and to, you know, talk about what had happened that day, this was the one question that came up every night. And it was, you know, how do you reach out and how do you meet such a need as, you know, the homeless people or the people that just live in these little places where there's animals and there's holes in the wall, and you know, they just have so much need. And how do you meet that? I mean, you can't just take somebody in usually off the streets and say, hey, stay in my house until you get back on your feet and all that kind of stuff. You just can't do that. So how do you meet that need? And we never did come up with a completely satisfactory answer, except that just to be aware of the needs that are around us and to meet those needs any way that we can. Matthew 25:34-45 became our theme verse for that week, and I'm going to read it real quick. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. So as, you know, in closing, I want to leave you with this challenge. You know, we are commanded to care for those around us. And I just want you to think about how well each of you individually do that. I mean, this is something that all of our group have had to, 11 of us have had to contemplate and look in on ourselves and see if we're really caring for those around us. I mean, all of us in here, you're usually mainly involved in service. I mean, some of us do some kind of service to help others out, but do we really reach out to those around us who we know are in need? So my challenge is that y'all just become aware of the needs that are around you and just meet those needs any way that you can. So thanks.
Hi, my name is Anna White, and I'm representing the Go New York trip. And this is my first time to New York, and it's pretty much like it is on the movies. It's compacted and huge, and there's a billion people everywhere, and they're all on a rampage trying to get to wherever, I guess the next Starbucks or somewhere. There are there are 8 million people that work just on Manhattan, and Manhattan is 12 miles by 3 miles, so not very big. So there's a ton of people there. What I wanted to talk about, though, is what God is doing there, because I just want to bring God glory through telling you that he's answering prayer. That's the biggest thing I could say from our entire trip is that. The ministry that we worked with was called the 411, and they're, like, I think New Hope New York came and talked last year, but they're like they describe themselves as an umbrella over, like, all these little big churches, because there's not very many of them, and the one we worked with is called the 411. And they meet in a dance studio that they rent out every single Sunday and hike all their stuff up, like, 3 floors, like, all everything they need to conduct their service, and hike it back down, and take it to their stores. They're just really committed people. One of the things that we did while we were there was that we prayer walked, and we divided our team through, I think, 20 blocks, and each group had 4 blocks, and so we would just walk up and down and just pray and just try to sense, like, where there was darkness, which was actually mostly everywhere, and just pray that there would be a light there, that somebody that was a Christian would be unashamed and that would have great faith and would just live out their life to where people would recognize that true life. But one of the things that they said the first day that we got there was, if all you do when you get here is pray, then we're glad you came, and that's fine with us. And they're just so serious about prayer. Their whole ministry is based on prayer. They do everything by praying about it, and they just have such great faith. And I was reading in Hebrews and James, and both of them talk about, like, believing God when you come to him in prayer. And we hear all these things about these mission trips, about, you know, like, God did all these amazing things, and God does stuff here too. But I think one of the things that makes mission trips different than real life is that we really pray, and we really have people praying for us all the time, and we really believe that God's going to do stuff, and we see him do it. And I think that a lot of times when we're at home, we're not as committed to prayer, or we're not putting our faith into action. But I mean, they totally believe in God's sovereignty. Like, their whole mission is to, like, win New York City, win those big, ABC, all those television people, like all the people that are like molding what our culture is, like to win those people to Christ. And they really believe it's going to happen. And I mean, I really went into the trip with a lot of doubts, like, what are we going to do in New York? Like, it's so big. I don't know, just normal doubts I feel like everybody would have. And they just absolutely put me to shame with just, like, really believing that God is bigger than New York. God's bigger than anything. And so anyway, the hugest thing that I learned from the trip is about serving. And I feel like everybody so far that's talked has had the same experiences on their own trips, that putting your faith to action by doing things. Like, we picked up trash just to pick up trash. We handed out donuts and granola bars. We might as well have chased them down and thrown them in their bag because they didn't want to take them. But they just don't believe that anything's free, or that anybody would do anything just for the sake of doing it, just to be a nice person or anything like that. And they told us that if somebody asks you, why are you doing this? Why are you giving us this for free? Or why are you picking up cigarette butts? To say, we're just trying to share the love of Jesus in a practical way. And that phrase right there has stuck with me. That is the thing that I keep thinking about over and over. And I realized that that's really elementary in the faith. I mean, when I told my mom, she was kind of like, yeah, isn't that kind of what our faith is about, serving people out of love for Christ? But it's the first time that I actually just, like, got it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, win a bunch of people. I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm honestly doing it only so I can show them the love of Christ. So that was a pretty big thing that I feel like all of us really learned, just about serving. And another thing is the reason they're having to do all this stuff, because like the Go Boston trip's kind of like us, where we had to hand out granola bars and do things like that. And I kind of thought, well, we're not doing anything, we're not sharing, all this kind of stuff. Well, they don't care. Like, they don't want to hear what you have to say. For, like, if you don't, what they were, the guys that worked there were kind of saying, is that you have to earn your credibility. They have to see you really doing things for genuine reasons before they're going to really listen to what you have to say. There's a huge need there. When we did surveys on the college campuses, most people, they don't really want to have a whole lot to do with God. They think that they don't want ministers to be involved. They don't know how a minister could help. They really just, I don't know. I think we talked about on our trip that a lot of people, we feel like, go to New York just to kind of get away, to kind of blend in, to not have to deal with kind of like the, like our Bible Belt area, where, you know, like, if you do something bad, everybody's like, dun, 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 you're like sinner. But one of the there's a ton of college students there. There's a million college students in New York, and only, well, less than 1% say that they're Christians. And so just if you think about it, like, right this second, if you just, like, say a prayer for them so that they'll have great faith, because I feel like it would be very discouraging to be there all the time. We were there for a week, so we weren't that discouraged, I don't think. But the people that are there over and over, and they're facing really, okay, the ideas that we see on TV and the things that are kind of, like, unmentionable to us at Union, those are, like, boom, they're, like, everywhere. Like, nobody cares. Like, nobody's ashamed of it or anything like that. And I feel like that would be very hard for somebody to stand up for their faith when no one really cares. So that's pretty much it. Also, I want to say, if anybody's thinking about like summer missions or anything, I know that they were talking about how they like to have like people come up and stay there for the summer and just like work. And so if you like the big city and everything, you should totally think about that. And I think that's all. Thank you.
Hey guys, my name is Brian Burns, and I was a part of Go Romania. And if you were like me before I went on to Romania, and you don't know where Romania is, it is at the southeastern part of Europe. And usually when we think of Europe, we think of Paris, and we think of London, and all these great cities. But Romania is a little different. Basically, Romania has two types of people. There are the Romanians, and then there are the Roma. Are also otherwise known as the Gypsies. And they are kind of the lowest class of society. They live in mud houses. They live on, have mud streets, and their fences are basically made of anything metal that they can find. And they live, most of them live off of around $30 a year. But when I think about back on that week, an image keeps flashing in my head. And on our last day, and we go up to this guy's house, and it's this family, and they accept us into their home and put chairs out for us. And as we sit down and begin to talk, I notice this young grandfather, and I say young grandfather, he was a grandfather, but he was very, very young. He was just working away at his roof, and I start talking to him, and I tell him about how me and my father used to work on our roof and how sometimes we would watch the stars. And it's still amazing to me how God took that conversation, and within the next hour and 30 minutes, that young grandfather and his two of his family members had accepted Christ. And yeah, that's great. It's a salvation story. What else? The next thing that happened still blows my mind and still is a very humbling experience every time I think about it. So after that's over, we invited him over to the worship service that night. And he started saying something about how he either didn't have a Bible or he had one and it was torn or somebody took it. I don't know. He was speaking in Romanian. I couldn't understand it. But as that worship service was going on, and we're in this little room, and we're worshiping and praising God in two different languages, we see that he didn't show up. And we're like, where is he? Where is he? And finally, 5 minutes before the service is over, I see him walk in the door, and the door is right by the preacher, so he's standing right next to the preacher. And his eyes are gazing up, and his eyes are just filled with joy. And that was the same joy that I saw in my father's eyes as my father accepted Christ 2 years ago. And I turn and I look at Cameron, and I tell him, just look at his eyes. And that same joy was everywhere in Romania, whether it was kids as they realized that as they colored for the first time and they realized that they get to keep the piece of paper and take it home with them, the image that they drew, or whether it was the joy in that small church building as we sang Our God is an Awesome God in perfect harmony in Romanian and English, or whether it was the joy carrying a lady's water from the store to her house, just the joy on her face that she didn't have to do it herself, or whether it was the joy when the last wall of an old church fell, just so a new one and a bigger one can be built. Guys, we think about, as our group talks about Romania all the time, those people are still living in those conditions. But it doesn't matter, because although they're so poor wealth-wise on this earth, guys, those believers are so rich in Christ. And it's so encouraging to think that that family back there, even though that they are living like that, that they are blessed and have Jesus in their life always. And that is Romania. And that is the only way I know how to bring back Romania to you. Thanks.
How y'all doing? I'm Chris Arnold. We went to Guatemala. It was similar to the Honduras trip. We both went to an orphanage or whatever. We went down there. We didn't really know exactly what we're going to do during that time in Guatemala. And then we got down there and we soon figured out they didn't know exactly everything we're going to do through the week either. There's a high school group there with their parents doing work too through that week too. So it was like two groups there to do a bunch of work for the orphanage. It was just amazing trip. I can't even tell you all about it in the time I'm allowed to be up here or whatever, but I saw God work in Guatemala in several ways. One of the first things that comes to my attention is, first, there's a language barrier down there, and very few of us know how to speak Spanish and communicate with the children. And knowing that I speak very little or un poquito in Espanol, I knew I was going to be in trouble that week, and the other people that knew less than me were going to be in trouble, but God worked through that. He allowed us to communicate with the kids and play with the kids and stuff, and that was the biggest thing of being down there, was just being able to just go out and play soccer or whatever it was, just with them children of ages from like little babies that you'd hold in your arms to like 19-year-olds there. It was just amazing just to be down there and see God working through them. And they just wanted to be loved. They just wanted to have attention and somebody to talk to them. Just a lot of them were already Christians, and then a few of them were not. But just being able to communicate with them, talk to them about Christ was an awesome adventure as well to see that. Something else, we went down there, and me and my prayer partner, if y'all know her, it's Annie Ross. One of my main concerns is we have 30 people or something like that. And through the whole week, I was like, before we went down, I was like, we need to pray that we all get along and no tempers are flared and all that, because we had a diverse group, in my opinion, and so that's my fault for thinking that we weren't going to get along or have a conflict or something. And the whole week went as smooth as possible. Like, we all had the best servant hearts we could have down there. We just went with the flow. Whatever we were told to do, we went and did it. Like at the orphanage, we didn't know exactly what we were going to do each day. Like the first day we got down there, they were like, we need so many people to go clean the children's bathrooms and their little dormitory area. We need a group to go paint this house. We need a group to go help we call him Poppy or whatever. He's the guy that pretty much runs the orphanage. Almost said something else. But anyway, he's the one that ran the orphanage, Poppy, and he needed some help getting his taxes done because the government down there making him file for the past 5 years or whatever. But we got down there and did that, and so we just split up that night before that we knew and just did that. So we just went with the flow, and then as the week went on, we had to have some girls and a few of us guys went over there and helped in the nursery area, and we never really complained about what we had to do. We all knew that we were down there to serve. It was just awesome seeing how our hearts were just opened and didn't care what it was. We went and did it, and everybody, I just cannot say enough about how awesome our team was and how much we got along and everything. And I learned, well, in my life through there, I was very humbled as I was there, because I think at times I probably suffered from a little pride. I think I'm, I don't know, it's retarded, but that's me, I guess. But God humbled me in so many ways down there, especially I went to, the first day we worked in the bathrooms or whatever, cleaned the children's dormitory area, and I'm telling you, none of our dorms will even compare to how dirty their dorms were, their bathroom. I was like, I can't believe I'm about to clean this nasty toilet. But I scrubbed it down best I could, and we got it done. And we just, there's things like that through the week that just made me realize it's more to life than just here in Union or here outside of Union and in our free time. And also, one other thing is, another humbling experience when we're down there, I had to change my first diaper because Jill Martin and Susan Briggs and Carrie Bachman made me while we were working with the little toddlers, something I didn't want to do, but they kind of made me. But that was another humbling experience that I had down there. And the other thing is, I'm just glad I got to know one thing about a mission trip, I guess, since there were so many people on our trip, I didn't know like half the people as well. So it's just a great time to get to know other people as well. This trip is just, you cannot say enough about it. And you could just see God working in so many ways, like I've mentioned. And that's it. Thank y'all.
Okay, you're dismissed. And for those of you that came in late, we're going to show the PowerPoint again as you're leaving.
Share the well, share with your brother, share the well, my friend. It takes the people well, love one another, share the well, my friend. Do you think?